Get some more Browns here in a few minutes, but the Guardians deserve some time with that win yesterday, snapping the losing streak and finding some firepower once again at the plate. Well, yesterday it seemed a little more like the earlier season Guardians. You saw the power. You didn't see the scuffling. You didn't see guys as indecisive at the plate. And, you know, three straight innings. They lead off with home runs, and they were able to keep their distance. I know Detroit rallied a bit, but a 5-4 win and save number 30 for Class A, who, if you've been paying attention, and I know, Mitch, you have been all over this. You care about the record books. He now has 140 saves. That brings him to where?
Second all-time in franchise history, 9 saves behind the current leader, former reliever Cody Allen.
So he passed Bob Wickman. I know these,
big night for him.
The save record, probably not one of those that even the diehard fan is constantly referring
to. No, I mean, I'm sure people are aware Cody Allen had the most in history just because it's recent.
Yes.
Like, it's not as if someone from, you know, the late 40s or early 50s when the franchise was really good had that record. So I think
imagine how many have if Andrew Miller wouldn't have been here screwing things up for him.
Oh, that's true. It's a good point.
But I think people are aware of it, but I'm not going to, when Emmanuel Clase's time in Cleveland is over, whenever that comes, I'm not going to think of him, oh, you know, all-time saves leader. Like, I will think of him as the dominant pitcher that he is, but that is not a statistic that I think of as this crazy cool counting stat. Like, I think of, and maybe I'm probably wrong for this, but I think of pitcher wins still, like, as above saves in terms of just, like, historically how I think about guys. And I'm probably wrong for that. But I will always think of Class A as a guy that I love watching because of how dominant he is and how he makes some of the best hitters in the world look foolish. But I'm not going to go, oh, yeah, Cleveland's all-time saves leader.
If Class A is a Cy Young candidate this season, say a finalist or maybe even the winner, I don't know that that'll happen. But does that change your opinion on where he could end up and how you'd feel about him being the all-time saves leader?
No, because I think he could end up as a Hall of Fame, a member of the Hall of Fame. I think he could end up as that. Like, his ceiling is, if he does what he's done his time in Cleveland, if he does that for 7 more years, he could be in the Hall of Fame. He could win a Cy Young. Like, all those things are possible. But I'm not going to, the way I look at his career is when we look back at it, I think saying that he's the all-time leader in saves or caring about that he's the all-time leader in saves is probably going to be pretty far down the accomplishment list. Like, we're going to think of him as a dominant closer. We're not going to be able to rattle off how many saves he had and how many he was above Cody Allen.
Man, he is only 26, and he has been a 3-time All-Star, and he has stuff that just simply looks unhittable.
He's on a Hall of Fame path. Like,
it's,
if he keeps
incredible.
This up,
incredible, and it's so
he's
tough.
A Hall of Famer.
I know we've been kind of spoiled. I think Cleveland baseball over the years, we've always had above average closers, have we not? I mean, almost. I feel like my entire life we've had pretty good closers. I'll go back to Doug Jones, rest in peace. We've had really good closers.
I mean, Emmanuel Clase has pitched in 270 games. For the Guardians, a 1.76 ERA. Like, he is, he's unhittable. He makes some of the best hitters in baseball look foolish. It is the only other guy in franchise history, and I think this is a reliever-specific thing. I think it's hard to feel this way about a starting pitcher. If you could feel this way about a starting pitcher, Corey Kluber would probably be in this conversation too. But the only other guy that I have watched, and just, like, there are times where I will laugh because of how dominant it looks. The only guy I can compare him to is Andrew Miller. That's it. Like, that, the list are just those two.
All right, so we had, oh, by the way, good pitching matchup today. We've got Flaherty. Is he for sure going, or because of his trade status, could be up in the air?
I would imagine he's still going. He's still got a week left in the deadline.
Yeah, he's still a week. That's true. Going up against Bybee, so good matchup today, and hopefully they can get the leg up. You're trying to win this series after losing the first game of the series. It was in peril yesterday, but they held on, so good news there for that one. I think, you know, more and more people continuing to pay attention. Meanwhile, Amari Cooper signing that deal. They got everything ironed out. I thought all along he was going to get another year. He did not, so I think that's probably that's it probably this year for Amari Cooper. With that said, it's exciting to have him, have them there on day one. Now, when it comes to who's going to be throwing him the football, Deshaun Watson, it's been very quiet. Honestly, even the critics have been quiet, and I don't know if it's a good thing because they're not even mentioning him. You know, I've brought this up over the last week. Wasn't even mentioned one time in that quarterback review by the executives at ESPN.
Right.
Not even mentioned.
But and they should
had,
he be?
Well, right. They had 10 quarterbacks, the top 10 quarterbacks, and they had honorable mention. So all in all, I think like 18 quarterbacks got mentioned. He was not one of them. So it's very weird because I think to that level, he's gone from, you know, a big disappointment, obviously, for the last 2 years. Is he getting slept on? Is he getting totally slept on? Like, we're just going to act around the NFL like he can't bounce back at all? I mean, last time we did see him, he was banged up and had maybe his, probably, not maybe, his best half as a Cleveland Brown.
Yeah, but what's happened since then? He had to have surgery on his throwing shoulder. There's not, Anthony, and I understand everyone wants Deshaun Watson in this town to be good because if he's good, this Browns roster is so overwhelmingly loaded that if the quarterback play is good, this team's going to be awesome and a true Super Bowl contender. So I totally understand that aspect of things. But there's no precedent for Deshaun Watson being good again. Going through everything that he's went through, where you think about since 2020, Deshaun Watson has played in, what, 12 games since 2020? We're about to begin the 2024 season. By the way, he also just had surgery on his throwing shoulder. How many quarterbacks in NFL history can you say those things about where they've played 12 games over a three-season stretch and had surgery on their throwing shoulder, and then they came back and they were not even top five? Because I think in today's NFL, that is a totally unfair ask for Deshaun Watson.
Right.
Yep. But top 10 caliber. How many guys have done? Exactly. So why would he be mentioned? Because he had one great half? Yeah. That second half against Baltimore, he was awesome. You know what he was in the first half? Terrible.
He's terrible. Yeah.
He could be. I think that it's much more likely he is average to below average than he's great. And I think probably he's going to be somewhere in the middle. Like, he'll probably be slightly above average, and that's not going to be good enough because they need him to be great.
All right, you're hearing the voice of Danny Cunningham. Now you're going to hear the voice of Dan Orlovsky.
I think it's more likely that Deshaun and that time that he had in Houston is the best that we will ever see him, and that he is who he's been in the last, I guess, 2 years. And that obviously is really difficult to say because I was as big a fan of that player on the field as I was of anybody in the league. I think that there's a couple factors attached to it. Number one, Deshaun over the last 3 seasons hasn't shown us that he is what he was in that stretch in Houston, shoot, up until that 2020 season.
Look, Deshaun has not given. That was on the afternoon show yesterday with Nick and Dustin, with Dan Orlovsky. So I get it. He has not done a ton to inspire a ton of confidence. Now, I get it every day. People tweeting me. And as always, social media reaction on X brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. But when they tweeted me, they bring up the second half of the Baltimore game. When they tweeted me, they bring up his record last year, that it was not an offense that was necessarily tailored for him. Which is interesting because when they did get him, the whole point was that
to build around him.
And he was excited about the offense. So I understand the trepidation. I understand why there's not the same type of confidence that maybe you had when he was walking through those doors 2 years ago. With all of that said, I do think people are sleeping on him. Like, if as long as, and this is an if, and then I think this is part of your point, Danny, as long as he can throw the football somewhat like he used to, getting pretty close to just health. I was worried about health going into the
offseason. I think that's a big worry.
And I get that.
He had surgery on his throwing shoulder. That doesn't happen.
I will say, and normally I am very cynical on these things, not just a successful surgery, but from the people that I trust that are around him, they say it looks decent. Now, that's before guys are, you know, barreling down on him and, you know, it's non-contact. Like, I get it. Could look very different. But just athletically, him, I think if they restructure some of the game and allow him to get back to some of the stuff that made him so successful in Houston, couldn't that be half the battle? Couldn't that bring out more of the big-time playmaking from Deshaun Watson?
I mean, it could, but I just don't have faith that it will. I have a lot of questions about him physically. I've got questions about if he has adjusted back to the speed of the game, because that's the other thing that doesn't get talked about. When you miss as much time as he's missed, whether it for off the field reasons, for injury reasons, the game, the speed of the game only gets faster and it only becomes more and more difficult to adjust back to it. I don't know that he's been able to read defenses as well in Cleveland as he could in Houston.
Now, because, that is a question.
Because I don't know that the processing speed for him, which in Houston was really good. It's not a matter of this guy was just never capable of it. That's not true. It's I don't think he's gotten that back. I don't think he has gotten his processing speed to how quick he can read defenses back to what it was in Houston. I think that is part of the reason why you've seen him at times. He's made some incredible athletic plays. But there have been other times where he, I think, has looked pretty hesitant, and I think that's why.
All right, I got a thought on that. 216-474-0092. You didn't hear a lot of hope in that segment for Deshaun Watson. You, the fans, do you start to build up some hope as we get into the season? Ryan Wilson will join us at 9 o'clock. We'll ask him that as well from CBS Sports. He covers football. And Team USA basketball, they only get talked about when they lose or struggle. What is the point of Team USA basketball? We'll get into that next here on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.